You are about to receive a word in season from Bishop Samuel Beidou. Bishop Samuel is the resident pastor of the Word of Life Cathedral, Takrady. Get ready for an impartation as the Word of God comes. Now, today's message.
Lift your hands and let us pray. Father, we thank you for this blessed morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to hear from you. We bless you. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Are you excited? Do you want to receive from God this morning? How many of you are excited that you are going to receive from God? You are going to receive God's word. I mean, it's a very important thing that you receive God's word. Hallelujah. God's word is important for your life. And this morning, God's word is coming to you. And I'm excited that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, that they will be enlightened. You will know the hope of his calling. Hallelujah. Amen. What a blessing. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, it's good to see you in church. I'm excited about your being here. Hallelujah. This morning I'm preaching about it is a great thing to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell somebody it is a great thing to serve the Lord. It's an important topic for me because I think that this generation of believers need to hear such things. You don't need to hear a message. I think you need to hear God more than to hear a message that talks about how you can make money. Do you understand it? Because that is also important. You must know how to do well. It's not a bad message, but I think that the generation of today, you need to hear a message like God, serve it like God himself. Do you understand it? Not, there are two things. There's God and the things that God has created. Like God has created money. Human beings and Christians now like money. You see, so we have come to, and that's the sin. That's a sin. The sin of this world is that we've come to love the things God created, the pleasure that God created. We've taken the pleasures of God to the extreme. Everything to the extreme. Then we've missed God. Think about it though. Everything God has created is for us. But we have taken those things, and those things are more important than God himself. That is the sin. And that's not the time for this message. But it is important for you to know that. That is why I want you to hear about God this morning. I feel that you might know about God, serving God. And when Jesus came, he talked about serving money. And serving money is different from serving God. Tell somebody, serving money is different from serving God. Yes. Oh, you are not. I think you think I don't like money. Everybody likes money. Me too, I like money. If you give me money, I'll take it. Tell somebody that it's not like I hate money. I really like money. I really need money. I want money. You have no idea. If you have $10,000 now, if you give it to, you'll be surprised it will finish tomorrow. Because there are a lot of things to be done. It will finish tomorrow. We'll put it here. It will finish. So I'm just telling you that I need it more. But you need God the more. Say amen. God is important. So this morning I'm preaching about serving God. Why it is great. It's great to serve God. It is a big thing. And it's amazing that it is not amplified in the ears of believers today. It's amazing. The believers don't know that. It's rather a big thing to serve God. It's amazing to serve God. It's big. It's so big. Nothing satisfies. Nothing. Appetite cannot be satisfied. And desires are always wandering. Tell somebody, appetite is not failed. The Bible says it so. The Bible says that your appetite for a phone will never be failed. Appetite is like a craving. It's like you have a bucket, an empty bucket. Like your desire is like an empty bucket. And your desire is, I need a brand new phone. So it's like you feel that that bucket, empty bucket of desire will be filled when you put a phone in it. It will never be filled. Ecclesiastes 6:7. Look at that. Appetite. All the labor of man is to eat, what you will see, all the labor of man to buy this, to buy clothes, to buy that. But the Bible says that yes, the appetite is not filled. It's never going to be filled. Nothing will fill it. Why do you want to live your life to experiment that nothing will be, you will not be filled? And desires are wandering. Verse 9. Better is the one that you see, the thing you see, than the wandering of desires. It is better to have something. What you have, be happy with it. Don't look at your neighbor and say, be happy with your wife. Be happy with your husband. Be happy with your whatever. Hallelujah. Be happy. Be happy because you see, better in sight. Look, verse 9. Better is the sight of the eyes. The one you can see. Another version, the Message Bible says that, the verse 9, the Message Bible, or one of the verses says that, a bed in the, is it that one? No. A version talks about a bed in hand. A bed in hand is better than two in a bush. That's one of the versions. It's a phrase. A bed in hand is better than two in a bush. The one you can see is better than two beds you are dreaming of that are in the bush. Hey, but the Bible is wild, though. The living bed. A bed in hand is worth two in a bush. Look at what is in your hand and be happy with it. Look at your dress. Look at your clothes. Look at it. I want you to look. Look at your watch. Be happy with your watch. Look at your shoe. Look at your shoe you are wearing. Be happy. Those of you who have come with wandering desires. Look at your neighbor and say, do you have wandering desires this morning? Look at your shoe and be happy. Thank God for your shoe. Look at your shoe and say, Father, I didn't know my shoe was so nice. I'm very grateful. Huh? Look at your clothes. You are blessed. It is worth two. The two you are dreaming about, what you have is better than the two. Or it is equal to two of the things you have that is in the bush that you don't have. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we have so many desires that serving God today is not a great thing. But I want to tell you that serving God is a great thing. Hallelujah. Serving God, working for God, doing something for Him. Serving God is doing something especially for Him. Getting involved with the labor part of the work, the moving. Okay, moving, doing something. Not this one is your service, your worship. Sitting down here is your worship. Okay, now serving God is the work. What work do you do? What are the work? Something that you do to help the work to go on. Okay? The people who make the place ready for church. The people who sing in a certain way. The people who sing, who are serving God, I tell them, they know what. They sing to a point that you can see that this is work. It's not those that do worship, just worship and go. No. So like the one who sang today. Where is Benedicta? Are you going to bring your people to church today? Or you have stopped going? You see, she has stopped going. So she couldn't answer because she's supposed to. Because you just sang one song. How can that be work? Have we not all sang? Did we not help the worship? Have we not sang? Did we not help to sing? It can't be work. That can't be work for me. It can't be. How can you call it, this is my work? You came to sing one song. That's your work. Even the people who, the party who led worship, Crample, they sang more songs than you. So I'm talking about work. I need you to understand, given your time, work has characteristics. Your time, your money, your energy, it has working hours. These are some of the characteristics of work. Do you understand it? But God can be served with time. God can be served with your money. God can be served with your energy. Do you get it? Go, the things you need to do to make sure that God's things and God's work is ongoing and is going on in a certain way. Now, in the Bible, you see, the Bible talks about serving God. So it's like, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water. That's what the Bible says. But who are servants of God? In the Bible, there are some people who were servants of God. I want to quickly read them to you, and I'm sure that will be out of here. I'm going to read them to you. Tell somebody, the bishop is going to read them to you. All right? Is it hot? Hey, Charlie. Where is some way, it makes you feel sticky. That's why we have to air condition the church. If we get 10 people buying these industrial air conditioners for us, I'm sure it will be a blessing. You are one of them in the name of Jesus. Servants of God. Who is the servant of God? So let's see the servant of God. The people who are called servants of God in the Bible. All right. So with that, you will know that you are part of the group. I'm sure that you are somewhere in there. You don't have to be. Listen to this. I'm reading to you. You do not have to be a pastor or a missionary to be a servant of God. We all know that priests, prophets, evangelists, and pastors are servants of the Lord. We know that such people are privileged to be called the servants of the Most High God. What a blessing to have to you have to serve your Maker. All right. However, the good news is that other people who are not ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ can also be servants of God. I'm excited about what I'm reading. Don't worry. Look at that. It says that indeed the Bible is full of stories and of people who were not pastors but were servants of God. God called them his servants, and that is what they were. Some of these men were kings, politicians, businessmen, millionaires, farmers, and even non-Jews, all right? Now, let me go into the list for you. Number one, priests and Levites were servants of God, all right? The first group of people are priests and Levites. That's what we all know. We all know that pastors are servants of God. So, the servants of God. Yes, we have them in different categories, all right? Where a priest is a servant of God in a certain light, who is maybe commissioned with a responsibility of doing certain exclusive things. Do you understand it? That is different. But they are also called servants of God. So pastors are servants of God. Levites, those who help. So they are, let's say, full-time pastors. Okay? And then we also have lay pastors. Okay? So the full-time pastors, we can call them the priests. And the Levites, we can call them the self-sustaining ministers. That's the name. Like a full-time pastor is full-time. The self-sustaining pastor is like a lay person. The person who does his work and then he still serves God as a pastor. Like Reverend Eric, okay, and all the other pastors. We have, they are all self-sustaining. They are real ministers. I mean, Reverend Eric is known as Reverend more of a reverend in his office than the person he is there. I mean, I'm sure when they are looking for a priest, they will call him. Yes, a real minister. And he's a real, he knows everything about ministry. Everything, he's done it for long. What you call it? Name it. Everything. Clergy, he does. Everything. Officiating, weddings, wedding. He's been a counselor. He's done everything. Everything. Do you understand it? So I'm just saying that these are priests, Levites. So he is a servant of God. A Levite, a priest, whatever. We will call him. Do you get it? Now behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites. Even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. So they do the service of the house of God. And this is in 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. So these people, they do the service. So the service is the work. You can call it the work of the house. There's work in the house of God. That's what people don't know. That when you see a building like this, there's a lot of work that goes on. There's so much work. That should go on to make the house look a certain way. Or to make the house stand in a certain way. Or to make the house operate in a certain way. Hallelujah. The second point is prophets were servants of God. 2 Kings chapter 9 verse 7. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets. That's what the Bible says. You smite the house of Ahab to avenge the blood of the prophets. Alright? So, right here, you get to see that God says that my servants, the prophet, he's called the priest who do his service as servants, and then he's called the prophets also his servants. Do you understand it? And that's the second one. And that the prophet, prophets of God. I'm using the titles for you to know that yes, a prophet of God is a servant of God. Yes, a priest, a pastor is a servant of God. Yes, anybody who is a lay person who is still in the service of God doing whatever is a servant of God. And God in his word calls them servants. What authority do I have to call them his servants? By the word of God. What authority? It's about the authority. That's why it must be established in the word. It must be the basis, okay? It is like marriage ceremonies in Ghana. The reason why the ordinance, you know, Ghana, we have a mixed type of, our marriage ceremonies is not just ordinance, it's a combination by law. The law recognizes. So our constitution, our things in terms of marriage is not just ordinance. It's a mixed type. Okay, we have both the ordinance, which is recognized, and then also the customary. All right. So these two are all recognized: the traditional, the customary, and then also ordinance. So the court recognizes that. So somebody who is married under whatever is still recognized by law. If there are witnesses, there's everything, they've stayed together. It is witnessed as such, and it is marriage. That's why people come to contend and say there's no need for wedding and all that. Yes, but our beliefs make us do it. We believe that your wedding must be blessed, and it is more proper to register it, and that's it. Do you understand it? Now, when it comes to marriage under the ordinance, okay, it is a law. That is by law. So the law gives certain offices. Okay, the law has created certain offices and has given certain offices power, and then has given the powers to those offices, and then certain officers in those offices. You understand the combination? Yeah. First of all, the law. The law is the constitution. The constitution, out of it, so that's how come we have institutions. So out of a constitution comes forth offices or institutions. Okay? Like the constitution has created the court, and the constitution has created the Supreme Court as the place that will ultimately interpret the constitution. Okay? The constitution has created the district assemblies and then the metropolitan assemblies and giving them certain powers. The institution has created the our security and armed forces, whatever they have, like the police. The constitution created it. They didn't just come out of nothing and created that. There'll be a group of people. They'll be called the police. They'll be in this place. This is their office. And this is their jurisdiction, the power they have. They can do this. They are vested with the power to arrest you if they find an evidence of some wrongdoing. They have that power. So once they are able to present facts to you, they can. So it is from a place. A place has given them the power of the constitution, has created these institutions. And then in these institutions, the institutions have powers to do certain things. And there are officers that have the power to enforce these various things that they can do. All right. Now, the reason why I'm sharing this with you is that the Bible gives such people that I'm talking about the power to be called servants. So it's like, you are my servant. It comes from the Bible. It comes from a place. The source is the word of God. That says that. God says that this person. So that's why it is not who. You can't come and say, we are in a mini part. You can't come and say that. You don't determine that. You can't just out of your own desires, rubbish, what God calls right. You can't say that. It's the Bible that says that. God calls prophets his servants. God calls prophets his servants. God calls pastors his servants. God calls the priests his servants. Do you understand it? So you cannot just rubbish them and laugh them to scorn. Amen. I'm going to continue. Do you want to know more of the servants of God? Okay. Now listen to this. Number 3, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The greatest businessmen were all servants of God. Exodus chapter 32, verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants. Remember them who were servants of God. Your servants. These were servants. Now, these people were businessmen. Amazingly, we look at Abraham and we think Abraham was a preacher, just preaching around like going from place to place, maybe moving from temple to temple preaching. Abraham was a businessman. Abraham was a businessman. But God called him a servant because this businessman listened to God's word and did what God told him to do. And God prospered him. And God gave him a name that is greater than every name. That, I mean, human beings. I'm not talking about in comparison to Jesus. I'm talking about a name. Abraham. He has a name. Even he has a place in heaven. God has given him a name. A great name. Do you understand it? So, these people who were businessmen, they are called servants of God. May you also be a servant of God. Because they served God. They served him. They did his service. Alright? The next one is Jacob. The multi-millionaire. He was a servant of God. Jacob was a servant of God. Isaiah chapter 41 verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. He's called the servant of God. Jacob was, I mean, if you know Jacob, who was he? He was a servant of God. That's all. Try and understand God's word. Don't interpret things with your own thoughts. And don't try to also interpret the word of God to fit your own concept of life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, you can look at the Bible and then you try to look at it to fit your own concept. No, you have your own conceptions in this life. What you think things should be. How you think things should look like. How you feel this person should be. You look at somebody and say, this person doesn't deserve this. That's your concept. That's your concept. You don't look like, you look at somebody and say, this person doesn't deserve this wife. Who has asked you to be the judge? Judging people by that. You know how people think? That is your own concept of life. It's your own concept. It doesn't matter. What is your concern? That is the thing. It's you are trying to interpret things with what you think should be the case, but that's why you are not the person. So God's concept is God's concept. And God says that these people, Jacob is a servant. Who was just a businessman? He was a very rich man. Do you understand it? Amen. Number five, I'm giving you. Moses, the head of state, was a servant of God. Joshua 1:7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So that's the instruction when Joshua came on the scene. This is what God told Joshua, that don't turn from what Moses my servant commanded you. What was it? Now, do you know something? A nation. Do you know what makes a nation? One of the things that makes a nation. One of the two things that makes a country, Ghana, called Ghana. The first thing is the law. That's what makes us Ghana. We are not a nation if we don't have laws. A nation is bound by laws, boundaries. So, not just geographical boundaries. We have boundaries by law. Law. The law makes you whatever. So, when you say you are a Ghanaian, you are bound by the laws of Ghana. If you have a worker and it is a holiday and you have the house help and all that, you cannot force your house help to come to work on a holiday. They can take you to, if they press on, they can press on. Anyway, when they take you to court, their salaries will be finished and they will not get back to work. That's when they should know it. But by law. Do you understand what I'm saying? Reverend Eric, it's not the case. Because it's a holiday. They're supposed to be off. It's true. A holiday is a holiday. And all the things that pertains to holidays and whatever the laws say. So a country that has no laws, it's not a country. No, with no borders. You are not a country. You can't call yourself a guy. That's why as a Ghanaian, you should be able to you should be able to tell of your basic responsibilities, the basic things that you don't have to do. And then you must also, one of the things that every constitution has is, you must, it is spelled out, the basic human rights of the citizens. You must know, basic human, it is my right, it is part of the constitution, so that the officers will not bully you. That's why the constitution is important. That's why almost every constitution, there should be the human rights, the rights, basic rights of the people. Amen. We are doing a bit of law. Now, Moses gave laws. Now, he was like a head of state. He moved 3 million people. 3 million people besides children. 3 million. He led them through the Red Sea. Can you imagine? His nation was a moving nation. They were going to the place that they call their land today. They're going into their land. Yes. So they needed to move. Yeah. And every problem came back to him. Moses was solving all the problems. He was the judge. He was the president. And all the problems came to him. They would come to him morning till evening. He would sit and judge cases. This one has eaten my food. What should I do? I don't have any food to eat. What should I do? This one beat my child. That's how it is. Just like people go to the court or go to the police station. I bought a piece of land. This is my receipt. Recently, somebody bought a piece of land. The person says that he doesn't remember receiving the money. Somebody in church. We have pictures. The guy is denying, saying that he didn't take any money. You can't believe it. They process the land documents. They've gone to court. They've registered the land. He says he doesn't remember. He has a special type of amnesia. Highest. He doesn't remember taking the money. I remember when the guy told me that he was going to buy, they've gone, went with somebody, even the witnesses there. So, but we came and paid. I said, no, I don't remember. I didn't take. And he has rather gone to say that, to bring somebody to. So then this one will go to court. Let's go to the police station. This is my receipt. You sign here. Do you understand it? Because we have such wicked people who pretend they've not done what they've done. Do you understand it? So Moses was into making laws. So that's what Moses did. So Moses was also a servant of God. He was like any politician. He was solving problems. Moses even appointed 70 elders who became leaders and all that. So that's Moses. And the laws that he made is what is governing. They have about 613 laws from the Torah. The Torah is the Old Testament laws. 613 of them. Yeah, and they still keep them. They still, like, as whether they keep all of them, but they are supposed to keep. That's what they follow, the Jews. Those are the laws. They study those laws. They study them to make sure that they follow them. That's what they do, because they are Jews. And I'm saying that Moses was a servant of God, but he was a politician. That was who Moses is. Moses, his first 40 years was in Egypt. He schooled, grew up in the schools of Egypt. He was being prepped to become the prime minister of, like, incoming Pharaoh. Then he killed somebody. Then he became a fugitive. Then away in the desert for another 40 years. So Moses was 80 years when he came back. Yeah, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the desert. And then he returned. So 40 years again as what? As a shepherd, following sheep, taking care of whatever, marrying, giving birth, I'm sure. All those kind of things. That was it. That was his life. Then God caused him to go and move his people. Then he gave them laws and all that. And then he died and he left the scene. And that was Moses. And he was a servant of God. May you also be a servant of God. Those of you who are interested in politics, some of you are party agents. Student party agents. You are sitting here. You see, you'll be surprised. These people who are sitting here, they have their party t-shirts. They have their party cards. They pay their dues. You are sitting down, looking at my face, as though you don't know what I'm talking about. Listen, I've not asked you to return your card. What I'm saying is that you can serve God even with your card. Say amen. Say amen. You are so happy and so excited when you do these things for politicians. Can you not serve God? Can you not serve God? Can you not serve God? One of the things that inspired me one day when I saw my mate. It's a guy who was my mate because I used to see him in a lecture.
I don't remember. When he stood in the afternoon, very nice guy. Afternoon, he was campaigning to become the SRC president. I mean, shamelessly. And these people, when they come, they do nothing. I remember him with a megaphone shouting in the afternoon in the University of Ghana so many years ago, 2004, I think, or 2003. And this guy was campaigning. Can you not do the same thing for God? Can you not serve God that same way, where you can talk for him? You know how to talk. You know how to speak into megaphones and shout and campaign and tell people that you buy everybody a car when you win your elections. Hey! One car for everybody. I mean, whatever the promises are. You know the promises people give. David was the king, but he was a servant of God. Let me tell you something. You see people who are kings, you'd be surprised that the Christian who is sitting in church, who's not serving God, the king you are condemning will rather serve God the more. Don't bundle all chiefs and cast a blanket statement on them and say that these are all idol worshippers. Watch out, brother. Watch out, sister. And think about yourself. Think about what you are doing with the message you are hearing. Think about it yourself. Because David was a king. David was a king. You see, let me tell you why David was great. Because other kings, like the kings of today, came and sat on the same throne and they served idols. Just like today. But David didn't serve idols. David is the only king that did not serve idols. Do you understand what I'm saying? How many of you know that chiefs do that a lot? They slaughter animals, they serve gods. How many of you know that? It is not a new thing. The kings of Israel, they did that. Almost all of them. Except, his son did that. Solomon had idols. His heart was swayed by the ladies. When you have a lot of girls in your life, your heart will change. How is it in the Bible? Solomon loved the Lord. And another person said, Solomon loved many strange women. They took his heart. They changed his heart direction from serving God. He loved God at that point. He said, a lot of ladies can confuse you. Tell somebody, a lot of ladies can confuse you. Yeah. A lot of ladies. And you say a lot of ladies. I mean, 1,000 ladies, they will confuse you. They will confuse you. Can you imagine? Even one cry is not easy to manage. And 1,000 of them, they will confuse you. In trying to please them before you realize you are making sacrifices to idols. Yes. You'll be sacrificing to idols. So what I'm saying is that it is not a new thing, but there's an exception where David did not sacrifice to idols. David did not. And he served God. He was just a chief. He was a chief who served God. He was a king who served God. Whatever you are, may you also serve God. Hello? Serve God. Serve God. Be a servant. Look, I am moving after this message. Everybody must find himself doing something. You must find yourself doing something. Don't be okay just coming to church. Especially young people. Don't be okay, sister. What's your name? Don't be Ifia. Don't be okay just coming to church. I'm telling you. Because it is a great thing. Great. Although you think you know what great is. Give us and put it up. David, the servant of God. One of the things that makes David great is the fact that he served God. That's why David is great. He was a king, yes. What about Saul? We don't talk more about Saul. He was the first king of Israel. Why don't we talk more about him? Because he did not. He served idols. His last night, he spent it in a witch's house. He spent his last night in the night before he died. He spent it in the witch's house. Huh? Yes. Why don't we make him great? Because David was great. Served as a servant of God. He was great because he was a servant of God. Definitely Saul did things, but the things that Saul did and accomplished are not known much. Huh? They are not known. But David, he was a servant. He served God. He was fixated on doing the things of God. Building the house of God. He wanted to build the house of God. When they said he shouldn't build the house of God, what did he do? He bought the materials and then made provisions, connected his sons to all the kings that can provide him with the goods and before he died. Servant of God. He cared for the priests. Made sure he cared for the priests of God. Cared for the house of God. Cared for the ark and the presence of God. That's David. David cared for. He was the one that made a cut and said, let's go and bring the church. It's like, we don't have a building yet. Let's bring the ark that which carries God. They went for it, and then that's what he does. He danced. The king danced. Why was he dancing? What king will you see dancing in the street? How many kings do you see dancing in church? David. We can only imagine David. How many kings come dancing in church? Tell me. How many chiefs? Unless they are sitting in a palanquin, they will not be dancing in church. They dance when they are carried around and there's an umbrella on them. How many kings and chiefs will come dancing and lifting their hands in church? That is why David was a great king, because he saw it as a great thing serving God. In life, you have to see, there's a little thing that makes a big difference. You have to see it. Saul should have been the first, like, the first ever, that's Barack Obama, the first ever black president. Like, the first is different. But Saul's name is dwarfed. Dwarfed in comparison to David. At all, you can't. We call the Star of David, their flag. The flag of Israel has the Star of David. Wow. We don't have the city of Saul. We have the city of David. Are you there? Go tell my servant David. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5. When David sins, say, go tell my servant David. That's what he said. Go tell my servant David. May you serve God. Oh. Serve. Do some. Your hands can do something. Your legs, they can do something. You can stand and teach a small group in church. I'm preaching on this to let you know that everybody who's interested and is doing the fellowships and is part of this fellowship is great. Look at the meaning of, hey, my grace has not appeared. Oh. Do you have it? Let's go back to it if you have it. Of ability, quality, or eminence, considerably above average. Charlie, your dictionary is not good. It's not good. At all. It's not bringing out anything. Christ, it's just, yeah, it's nice a definition, but you have to get something that gives us lots. Because if you have a dictionary that gives you a lot, great, you have a lot of definitions. This is also important. It's good, but it should give you a lot for you to understand. All right? Let me see if I can get you. It's a great thing. Tell somebody it's a great thing. Are you there? Usually or comparatively large in size. You see, it says large. This one says above average. It doesn't. We want words like large in size. See, large in size. Another one says large in numbers. So it is large. When it comes to numbers, when it comes to seven, this is. When it comes to God, it is a great one. This is larger than the others. It's bigger than the others. I want you to see it. It's bigger than serving any company. Yeah. I had a friend. I've not seen him in a while. I've not spoken to you in a while, but he was given the opportunity to work at Apple. White man, you know, it's a Canadian who stays in America. And he said he doesn't want to, because he said he saw something that he was at. The people, they just work and sleep there or something. He said he doesn't want. He said it wasn't great for him to work in Apple. It wasn't. Very wild IT guy. Yes. He says he didn't do it. It's not great, but it will be great for you. You say, I work at NASA, maybe it will be great for you. But no. He says it's not great for him. He was actually working for a Christian NGO and he was happy with it. Christian NGO. He felt that it was greater than working at Apple. Said they should come. He went there. He didn't do it. It wasn't great for him. So your eyes is about what your value system. What do you see and how do you value it? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to end my message, but I want you to know something, that those who serve God, there's one thing that you will have when you serve God, all right? There's one thing, and I want to just show you before we go, all right? I gave you six, right? Maybe next week you get the rest, maybe. But one of the things that happens to people who serve God is that you will receive wages. You will receive wages. These are the benefits. John chapter 4, verse 36. The Bible says, he that reapeth, receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. He that reaps. Okay, go to 35. Give us 35 first. Now that's why I want everybody here to be a part of the fellow. Be part of it. You can't exclude yourself because this is what we are doing. And be part of it. Be part of it. Look at it. Say not. Don't say that they remaineth yet what? 4 months. Then cometh the harvest. Even maybe the King James is not helping you. Give us another verse. It says, but lift up your eyes and look. See the field. They are white already to the harvest. Before the 36 comes. God is saying that. Say not. Don't sit down. Say not to yourself that they remaineth yet 4 months. Then cometh the harvest. But lift up your eyes and look. See. The field is white. You see, this place says white. Give the New Living Translation say white. But this one says ripe. It's already ready. Tell somebody it's already ready. It is ready. Then the verse 36 says that. For he that reapeth gathereth wages. Two things happen here. They gather wages. He that reapeth gathereth wages. Receiveth wages and gathereth fruit into life eternal. One is wages. Number two is eternal life. Eternal life has eternal rewards. So there are two kinds of rewards. Rewards here on earth and rewards in heaven. Anything you do for God, you will have a reward here on earth. There's also going to be a reward in heaven. May you receive your reward. I said, may you receive your reward. Wages is wages. Wages is something you receive every day. Wages are returns. Wages are remunerations. What comes to you? Money. I can give you a lot. Wages are payoffs. Wages are emoluments. Wages are reimbursement. They are allowances, fees. Wages are honorariums. Wages are awards. They are advances. They are rewards. They are benefits. They are stipends. They are remittances, pensions. They are wages. God has wages for you. You didn't know that? I mean, which of the wages will you want? If you read the Bible, what you must tell yourself is that, God, if you say you have wages, I want your wages. God is going to give to those who want it. Want God's wages. Look for God's wages. Serve God. And let God give you wages. God has wages for you. Look at what you are looking for. All of you are looking for money. Everybody is looking for money. Looking and searching for money. But God has two things for you. God will give you money. God will bless you with wages. God will give you remittances. Plus eternal rewards. Plus eternal rewards. May the Lord bless you as you serve Him. Everybody who is going to be a worker. Everybody who is going to help build the cells. That's God's house. That's God's model. That's what God has determined for us to do. And anyone who is going to be part of it and work in a certain way, God will give you wages. God's wages are for those who reap, who work. Workers. May you be a worker. May you be a worker. Everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry in church. Everybody. Everyone. Not one single person is excluded. May you be part of it because I can only give you the word of God. And do you know what you have to do? To believe and to do it. It shall come to pass. And it shall come to pass. I said, and it shall come to pass. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. To observe and to do. 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 Hear it and do it. Observe and do it. Hear it and do it. To observe and to do all his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high. Receive the on high blessings. Amen. It's for those who will observe and will do. Do you want it? Subscribe. Tell somebody, you know that click, subscribe, the click and subscribe. Once you click and subscribe, anything that happens, don't say that you did it. Click and subscribe and say, okay, you said I'll do it. So do it. Do it. Observe and do it. And God will bless you. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is to have the opportunity that we more mortal beings, we have the opportunity to serve God, an immortal being. It's a blessing. It's an opportunity. It's a great opportunity of a lifetime. That's why angels, they look at us with wonder because we are mortal people. And God has given us an opportunity to serve an immortal person. It's a great thing. Yeah. Wonderful. It's a wonderful opportunity. They are celestial beings. Angels are celestial beings. We are not celestial beings. Father, we thank you for this morning. It's a great thing to serve God. And God is looking for you to serve him. And this year, you are going to be part of the people who will always, you have determined from today that you will serve God. Already. Say already, I have determined that I will serve God. I'll be part of those who serve him in the name of Jesus. And your wages are coming. Say my wages are coming. Say my wages are assured. Say God will bless me. God will give me wages. God will give me wages. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for Jesus. Stand to your feet, everybody. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to hear a word. We thank you that you are. Lift up your hands and pray and say, Father, talk to me. Bless me. Help me. Lord, lead me to do your will. Lead me to do your work. Lead me, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Mandorolo zarande sekebreso talabandelebe. Father, we thank you. We bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ. This year, be part of what God is doing. Be part of what God is doing. Be part of what God is doing. Pray about it though. Pray about it. You can. Do you know something? Pray about it and pray. Say, Father, let your will be done in this matter. I want to be part of it. Lift your hand and say, let your will be done. If you don't pray, the will of God will not be done. You will not find yourself serving him. You will not find yourself serving him. You will find yourself serving something else. Seven other things. Seven money, seven idols, seven people and not God. Lord, help me. Balando regese darabasha. Let your will be done. In this situation, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to be part of those who will serve in the fellowship. Those who are going to serve and make the fellowships work and mobilize your people and preach to them and bring them to church and whatever it is, the few people, the few sheep you put in our care. Lord God, use me in the name of Jesus. Balasha satarabala. Thank you, O God. We bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe that you have been truly blessed. Send a mail to Bishop Samuel at bishopsamuelbeidu@gmail.com. Introduce this podcast to a friend. Keep listening and live passionately for Jesus.